Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening. My next guest is Orly Fortune Waba. Orly is the founder of a global nonprofit, Life Vest Inside, kindness expert, educator, best-selling author, entrepreneur, and keynote speaker who inspires audiences to take action. Her talks and workshops provide the groundwork for lasting change and motivate people to become the best version of themselves so that they can influence the world for good. Drawing from her personal journey, groundbreaking science, and her signature wit, Orly inspires people to tap into the power of kindness, the most underutilized skill in today's world. Through her talk, Orly demonstrates how kindness and a simple shift in perspective can alter the way a person connects with themselves and the world around them. Life Vest Inside gained an international acclaim when Orly's award-winning film, Kindness Boomerang, went viral, receiving over 1 million people, landing her spot at the TED 2013 conference and launched her into what has come to be known as a kindness revolution. Welcome to the podcast, Orly.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. It's really a pleasure to be here.
Well, tell me about a time when you were in the trenches and managed to crawl out.
Whew. I have to say that I've been in the trenches during various points in my life. And I think that honestly, being in the trenches makes us much stronger. And it pushes us sometimes against the wall so that we can tap into something within ourselves that we may not have been able to tap into otherwise. But I would say that probably the biggest shift for me that happened in my life and the time that I was in the trenches that really brought to me to where I am today actually took place in my adolescent years, where many people find themselves in the trenches during that time of their life. As a kid growing up, first of all, I was beyond shy. Okay. I would never be on a podcast. I wouldn't raise my hand in class. That's how shy I was. But one thing's for certain, I always loved people. I did. I always love people. I always say that my job is falling in love with people more and more each day. And as a kid, you know, being shy and that coming into high school with that same sense of insecurity. And that happened really as a result of my middle school years. You know, I'll never forget coming into school the very, very beginning of my seventh grade year. And suddenly all my friends or people that I thought were my friends, just with a snap of a finger, completely just turned their back on me. Suddenly it was like, no, you can't sit here with us at lunch. You know, you call up everyone to make plans on the weekends. Everyone tells you, yeah, they're doing something with their family. You find out that they're all hanging out together. And those things little by little took chips away from my sense of confidence, my sense of security. And those feelings of insecurity followed me into my high school years. And the very big shift happened in my sophomore year of high school. The very beginning of my sophomore year, we had a fire in my house, and overnight, my family lost absolutely everything. Now, it does something to you when you're home. You know, that place that you run to when the world is going crazy outside just goes up in flames, and suddenly that place is no longer there. But it wasn't just the fire. It was one of those years, which is not really difficult for us to imagine coming off of a COVID year. It was one of those years where everything that could go wrong went wrong. And when you thought, okay, it can't get worse, it got worse. My dad had lost his job. I only found out just some years ago how bad the situation was, that there were days where they didn't even know how they were going to put food on the table. Things were really, really bad. And my family, we were moving around for 6 years until we lived under the same roof. I mean, I was a junior in college. It's a completely different person. But that first year was the hardest. I'll never forget waking up the next morning and seeing my parents. It looked like someone had just punched them in the stomach, that everything just came crashing down. And I remember saying to myself, you know, seeing your parents cry does something to you. I said, I don't want to be a burden on them. I can't be. I have to be strong. And so I put up this wall, this strong wall of strength. But inside, I was crumbling. And I didn't want to be a burden on them. So I kept my emotions hidden from them. my friends, I mean, they didn't know what to tell me. You know, when someone goes through something and you don't know what to say, so you just sort of change the subject because it's like, seems like it's awkward. But all I really wanted to do was speak, so I would keep my emotions from them. But you can't do that for very, very long. And one night I went to sleep and I sort of just didn't wake up the next day. I fell into a state of depression, really, really deep depression. I mean, I was crying most of the day, sleeping the rest of it. I wasn't in school for several months and I was very angry. I was really angry. But more than that, I felt really lonely. I didn't know who I can turn to. And the thing that hurt me the most was that when I was home from school for those months, I was the kind of kid that if you were absent from school, I would be the kid that would take notes for you, bring it to you the next day, you know? I was home from school for several months, and during that time, not one person called. Not one person came to visit. And it made me feel like, well, if I wasn't here tomorrow, I mean, would it matter to anybody? I mean, would it actually make a difference? And it felt like the answer was no. And I was so angry and so bitter and I was in so much pain. I just didn't know how to take that pain away. And it was to the point where I just wanted things to end. I wanted my life to end. I just didn't think that it mattered anymore. Now you have to understand, as a kid, as young as 4 years old, I was this kid that dreamed of changing the world. Like, I was this kid in my family that they would, you know, oh yeah, she's dreaming of changing the world. Okay, Orly, sure. And I'd be listening in my room to Heal the World by Michael Jackson, screaming at the top of my lungs, you know. I very much felt that there was something major I was meant to do in my life. And I was always a very positive person. And suddenly that positivity just sort of completely was just wiped out of me. And I was left as the shell of a person that just wanted life to end. And I was forced to go back to school, but I wasn't the same kind of kid. I let everything fall, let everything drop. I didn't care. I just didn't care. I was that kid in the corner. I didn't care what the teacher was saying. I didn't want to listen. I didn't want to smile. I didn't want to have a reason to smile. Until one day, as I was getting up and getting ready for school, I was in the bathroom. I'll never forget this. I was in the bathroom and there's a mirror. And I stopped and I looked at myself in the mirror. But I really looked at myself. And the scariest thing happened. I didn't see me. I didn't see that 4-year-old Orly that dreamed of changing the world. It was like someone took her. Like she was gone. And to be honest, that scared me more than anything. And it was in that moment that I made a promise to myself. And I tell you, it was that promise that guided me to my 7 amazing years as a teacher, that guided me to starting this incredible organization about kindness. And it's a promise that wakes me up every day. It's a promise to be there for people the way I wish somebody would have been there for me. But more than that, to see people. To see people the way I just wished somebody would have seen me. Because in this world, I think the thing that we all crave more than anything is to feel seen, to feel like we make a difference, that the fact that we're here, it matters to the world. And those next couple of years of high school, I was sort of walking alone. But it gave me the greatest opportunity in the world, I tell you. It's an opportunity that most people don't even get to have, even as adults. It gave me the chance to fall in love with me for me. With me for me. Not because I was trying to impress that person or the other. I wanted to be included in this group. I got a chance to fall in love with me for me. And what I found is I found my voice. You see, I always had all of these thoughts and all of these dreams in my heart, but I never had the ability to express them. I was so shy. And I didn't have the confidence in myself. And suddenly in my senior year of high school, as we were on a seminar and we were in circles and the teacher was talking about obstacles. And I did something I never did before. I raised my hand and I had something to share. And the crazy part is that these kids that I used to be so super intimidated from, were listening to me and then coming to me afterwards and asking for advice. And what I found in that moment is that the more I gave, the more I healed. The more I gave, the more I healed. But it's strange because I was always a giver, But what I learned in that moment is that there are two kinds of giving. There's giving from strength and there's giving from weakness. There's giving from a place of abundance and there's giving from a place of sacrifice. And I hadn't realized, but my giving up until that point, it wasn't that it was fake, but I was giving from a place of sacrifice. I didn't recognize my own value. Therefore, every time you gave, it was sort of like this depletion. But when you're giving from a place of abundance, when you recognize that you have inherent value, irregardless of people patting you on the back or giving you a like on your post or following you, if you recognize that you have inherent value no matter what, just because you're here in this world, that's giving from a place of abundance. That's giving from a place of strength. And it was in that moment that I made that shift. And it's a continuous thing that we need to remind ourselves, because giving from sacrifice can turn us to become very resentful people because we're feeling depleted as a result of it. We need to realize that we also need to give to the person looking back at us in the mirror. And when our giving starts to feel like a sacrifice, I always tell people, stop giving out, start giving in. Because when you recognize that you matter, you now have the ability to look at other people and recognize that they matter too, with their flaws and everything. And that's really how I was able to sort of get myself out of the trenches. I have to say that a lot of it came from, and everybody has a different story. And I'm never going to tell someone, here's the way to get out of the trenches. No, everyone has their story. For me, personally, it was faith, to be honest. I always had a very strong connection and faith in God and believing that he's, you know, betting on me and cheering me on. And to me, it's like he saw me during my worst and he was still betting on me. So I always say, you know, maybe the rest of the world isn't betting on you, but if the guy upstairs is betting on you, then maybe I need to bet on myself. And I have to say that's honestly what got me through, because I wasn't able to share with anybody. I wasn't able to talk to anyone. But that's what brought me to where I am. And everyone's story is going to be very, very different.
That's so powerful, hearing how you were able to just discover yourself and the gifts that you have just as a teenager, right? During that time period. And, you know, we think of teens today and, you know, how we're striving to provide the mental health support. And there are a lot of teens that aren't accessing mental health support, but that you were able to come out of that trench on your own. And now just use those gifts. You knew already, like you said, at age 4, that you were meant to do something great. And, you know, plowing forward, right? And then, you know, becoming a teacher. So tell me a little bit about becoming a teacher, what you did as a teacher. And then in 2011, you took a leap of faith and quit your teaching job. So tell me a little bit about how that happened.
Oh boy. First of all, number one, I love kids more than anything in the world. Okay. So I always say, no matter how old it says I am on my license, I'm going to stay as a 9-year-old kid. That's the age I'm going to stay at. And there's a reason behind that. It's because kids look at the world through this lens, through this innocence of believing that they can achieve. And I think that as we get older, the world or people around us, I won't say the world, will rob us of that belief that we can. And we think that everything is impossible. I know the system is made in this way and that's just how it is. But kids have this amazing belief. And I always say, if we lose that, then we lose everything. We lose our ability to change the world. So for me, going into teaching was a very, very natural thing, because I wanted to be that person for my students that I needed in my life as a kid to continue to believe in them and help them see their value, recognize that it's right there inside of them. It doesn't matter if you're maybe the loner kid in the grade or you're the most popular kid. We all have insecurities. And so that was really a very, very big focus as a teacher. I taught middle school. I taught 7th and 8th grade, which I love, love, love. And I was also directing the musical theater productions at the time in the school, which was great because that in itself builds a tremendous amount of confidence for the students. But it wasn't just about merely teaching facts and figures. It was about connecting with my students, applying what they were learning to their everyday life, and just being a sounding board for them to help them see that beauty in themselves so that they can begin to see it in others. And it was a very, very magical time. You know, the concepts of kindness, compassion, empathy, empowerment, self-value. These were things that were being incorporated on a daily basis in the classroom. And I saw the impact that it had on my students. And so a lot of what I started with Life Essence Side started in the classroom with my students, dreaming with them and imagining with them this better world and what we can do. That with my students, I myself wrote my dream of what I wanted to do with Life Fest Inside. And it started with these acts of kindness cards that I would create for my students, all on, you know, different, you know, pieces of colorful paper that I laminated, and each student got an act of kindness card. And it said on it, you know, to perform the act and then pass the card on to somebody else to keep the kindness going. And the purpose of these cards were to empower the students to recognize their value, their inherent value. You don't need to be the fastest or the smartest or the most popular, you know, or the wealthiest to make a difference. All you need to do is just be you, right? You have a simple act of kindness. Might say, you know, smile at the security guard on your way into school that day. And just by being you, right? And giving what you have, you don't need to have anything in your pocket. You have it there. It's inherently built into you just with your smile. My goodness, the kind of impact that you can have. And when you see that you make another person happy, that fills you in a crazy way. I mean, it supercharges you. And that is what brings us our true sense of validation. I don't need to be anybody else. I just need to be me, especially living in a world where everyone's comparing themselves with everyone else. Everyone's following, looking at other people's social media channels. Oh, their world looks so much better. Oh my God, how come I can't be more successful like he is or she is? Instead of comparing ourselves with us, you know, I mean, you're awesome just the way you are. We just don't realize it. And so that's really what teaching was for me. And, you know, from the cards to coming up with the script for my Kindness Boomerang film that went viral that you mentioned, I did that in my classroom with my students. My students were actually, there were a few students in the film or that helped me work on the film. Like this was, it was so natural. And it was my students that gave me the strength and the courage to take that leap of faith. They were like, you need to share this with the world, Orly. You need to share that. And I never thought I was going to leave teaching, okay? Neither did the kids and neither did the administration. I mean, I loved my job. I wouldn't even call it a job. It was a calling. I mean, I was at teach. I popped out of bed every morning, just psyched to see my students. I mean, they were like my best friends. And it was, I never thought I was going to leave for good. It was supposed to be a year. I was going to take a year off to see what would happen if I put my all into this dream I had ever since I was a kid. If I was encouraging my students to pursue their dreams, how could I not pursue mine? And I created this film during my summer off from teaching. I had a background in film production, but it was 7 years since I had done film. I was scared out of my mind, and everyone that I knew was telling me that I was crazy. I was out of my mind. What are you doing? You're spending your money on this. Who do you think is going to see it? How do you think you're going to make a difference? Bigger and better people came before you, you know, like all the kinds of naysayers, you know? And again, I always say a naysayer doesn't mean that they don't believe in you. It just means that they don't believe enough in themselves. So if they don't believe enough in themselves, how can they believe in you? I mean, this doesn't work. So thankfully I was able to push forward and took this leap of faith and took a year off from teaching. It was my first time out of a school structure. I mean, I went from high school into college into teaching, and all of a sudden I'm like, what am I doing? I don't know how to start a business. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. And it was scary. And I put that film up online. And within a couple of months, the film went crazy viral. At this point, it's reached well over 100 million people. I didn't know what was going on. You know, I just thought that this was like a natural thing. People were writing comments on the YouTube video, and I was spending 20 of my 24 hours a day responding to people. Like, literally, that's what I was doing. I didn't have a website. You know, And building these connections without even knowing it. And from there, the organization sprang into being. And, you know, the mission of the entity is to inspire, empower, and educate people of all backgrounds to lead a life of kindness. But its essence is about empowering people. Empowering people to recognize that who they are matters. Because if people recognize that, just imagine the amount more of productivity in the world. Imagine the amount more of innovation in the world. My gosh. If people stop looking at others and saying, oh, I can't be them, and getting down on themselves, but recognize that they have a voice, that they have a calling, that they're a piece of the puzzle, and that without them, this world is just going to be lacking something. Imagine how much more we can create. And that is my main mission in life. And it's been an incredible 10-year journey, and it continues, you know, to be so. And The way that we spread this mission is through inspirational media like film, like Kindness Boomerang, through education, developing and implementing educational curriculum, through events, international events and leadership training programs. We host an international event, which is also a leadership training program called Dance for Kindness. It's a global flash mob that happens in over 50 countries around the world on the same day, run by volunteer group leaders, and through technology, helping to spread the message via really cool technology platforms that we've developed. So, you know, this has been a very humbling experience because I know this has zero to do with me and it has everything to do with the people. I always say this is an organization for the people, by the people. I'm just one of the people. And it happens because people want it to happen. I mean, I'm a full-time volunteer now. For the past 10 years, I've been a full-time volunteer. Not so simple. You know, that's a whole nother story, but, and I've been in the trenches through that as well. But I got to tell you, when you know your why in this world, when you know your why, your how will find its way to you. But you have to know your why, and you have to recognize that you are worth it. That doesn't mean that you're arrogant, okay? Because arrogance and confidence are two different things. You have to understand your value. And when you understand your value, you understand the value of others, and then you can embrace people for who they are, not who you want them to be. Suddenly, our differences are not reason to fight, they're reason to celebrate. Suddenly, even if I have an opposing view to you on a political matter or on a religious matter or on a whatever matter, it doesn't matter. That's okay. I have my view, you have yours. We're different people. We all have our own fingerprints. We all leave our mark in our own way. But I can embrace you, even though we approach things differently, and that's okay.
Wow, that's so inspiring to hear just kind of how that started out from just your work in the classroom with these middle schoolers and just having those kindness cards and, you know, teaching kindness to the students and then putting out a film during your summer break. How that led to this whole organization getting started, right? You not knowing how, what the reaction was going to be. And like you said in the beginning, you know, at age four, you wanted to make a difference in the world, but not knowing exactly how that would happen, right? But you knew your why. I thought that was so important. Like, you knew your why, the what then came, right?
So, yes, wow. It does. Yes, it does. It's not always easy. And I'm going to tell you, it's not been easy. Don't think it's been since I started like this. Oh, it's going up and up. There have been many downs during these past 10 years. I've been in the trenches again. And being in the trenches is actually part of our life. It's part of our growth. If we don't fail, we actually can never get to a place of success because our failures teach us a lot more. And we can't truly fail if we don't stop trying and trying to get back up. And I've had many of those experiences, many of those hardships. Even, you know, wanting to go out there and spreading kindness, there have been negative experiences. There have been a lot. But again, you can't, if you allow the world and the negativity that you experience to change you, then those people, those naysayers, they win and you lose. You have to, it's not easy to continuously believe when hardships come our way. It's not easy. Okay, I'm not saying it's a simple thing. And trust me, there are times and there are days where I get super down. And anybody that tells you otherwise is lying to you, okay? Nobody can be happy 24/7. I mean, we are human beings. We're meant to experience the full gamut of emotions. And the biggest danger that we can do is to shut off certain emotions because they're negative. We need to allow ourselves to feel those emotions, to feel them, to understand them, and then to be able to come out as a result of them. But if we're going to hide them, just like I did when I was 15, it will crush us. It will eat us from the inside out and leave us as a shallow little shell of who we are. We can't allow that to happen. So it's okay to experience those downs. Those downs are part of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's important to point out that, you know, building an organization and, you know, spreading kindness, you know, isn't easy. Like you said, there are naysayers, but, you know, don't let them get you down because, you know, you got to rise above that. I wanted to talk a little bit about your work with anti-bullying. You don't like to use the term anti-bullying.
True.
But how do you help in your organization to prevent it? And what is your view of like how we should use a term instead?
Okay. Well, the reason why I don't like the term anti-bullying. And that doesn't mean somebody can't use it. That's fine. It's a term. It's just a word. But the reason why that I don't like it fundamentally is because using it is a representation that you don't understand where the problem is coming from. So what do I mean by that? You know, in today's world, okay, there could be many different social issues that go on, right? And so many people approach different social issues from the anti-approach. You ever recognize it? It's like, you know, so right, there's bullying, people start talking about anti-bullying. There's war, people start talking about anti-war, drugs, anti-drugs, depressants, antidepressants, right? Utilizing something negative to fight against negativity. And that just doesn't work. I mean, we're not talking about a math equation here, negative time.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get back to the episode.
It's negative, just doesn't give you positive. I mean, it just doesn't happen. Instead of fighting it from the negative approach, why not understand why it comes into existence to begin with? To be proactive. I always say to people, you know, imagine you're, you know, walking down this very narrow corridor, very narrow, okay? And in the middle of this corridor, there's this pole, the rusty, jagged metal pole. It's cut at one side, coming out from the wall, and people, they're walking by, they have to get from point A to point B. They keep walking by and they keep cutting themselves, this crazy gash on their leg from this, you know, rusty pole. And on the other side, there's a guy stitching people up and putting Band-Aids on them. Forget the guy with the Band-Aids. Just cut the pole off of the wall. So oftentimes we look at the problem and we just see the problem, you know? Again, you know, I could approach this from many ways. I know it could be a sensitive topic, but I'm going to share one, for example, right? Right now, we know, let's say with gun violence, okay? Now, the gun is the instrument, but we need to look at the person behind the gun, because whether a person is picking up a gun or whether they're picking up an axe or picking up a knife or picking up a heavy water bottle and chucking it at somebody, it still can hurt someone. What is going on? Where is the source? Why does the person even choose that direction? Why is the person picking up those drugs? Why is the person getting depressed in the first place? Where is it coming from? Why is that child choosing to be aggressive towards another? And when we continue to ask the question of why, and we search why, and then ask it again, and ask it again, and again, and again, we find that it stems from one place, for the most part. Again, I'm not going to give a generalized statement. It stems from a place of lack of self-value and self-worth. Very, very much so. In many of these situations I'm talking about, and it sounds crazy, but you see, a person that doesn't have a true sense of value for who they are, how are they going to see value in another human or recognize that there is value in human life or recognize that their choices matter? If I don't think that my choices matter, why would I think your choices matter? If I don't think my decisions are going to have an impact, then who cares what decision I make, good or bad? But if a person can understand and recognize that their choices do matter and they have an immediate effect, we just don't always see it right away. Like in the Kindness Boomerang film, where you could see one person does something good and then it passes to the next. We don't necessarily see that in our life, even though very much life is like this, but they're more likely to make a better choice. And I've seen this in many ways. And, you know, we have one of these types of cards called the Catching Kindness cards. I love these cards. Okay. The way it works is when you see somebody engaging in an act of kindness, not with you, okay, it's easy to see somebody do something good for you, but let's say you see somebody doing something nice for someone else. For example, okay, I was on the train and there was a gentleman sitting down and a woman comes onto the train and she was pregnant and he stood up for her. Okay, so I witnessed someone doing an act of kindness. What did I do before I left the train? I grabbed one of these Catching Kindness cards and I handed it to the guy. Now, the guy doesn't know me from a hole in the wall. Who are you? What's going on? What are you giving me this thing? What's happening? And as I leave it, but I look back at him and he looks at it strangely in the beginning, like, what is this? I don't know. Who is this person? He reads it and it says on it, tag your it. You've just been caught doing an act of kindness. Now it's your turn to keep your eyes peeled and pass the card along the next time you see somebody else engaging in an act of kindness. What does this do to the person? First of all, what did it do for me? For me, as the person witnessing it, it started to get me seeing the good in the world. Not all the bad that everybody says, the world is garbage, it's going terrible, everything is terrible. I'm not saying that there aren't negative things in the world. There are. I'm not saying be an ostrich and put your head in the sand. I'm not saying that. But there's also a lot of good, okay? There's a lot of good. And unfortunately, there's been a shift, and I've seen it happen, starting happening from years ago, that there is a lot of attention on the negative or on the things that divide as opposed to the things that unite. And when we start looking for negative, guess what happens? We are magnets. We draw negativity to us. We're going to see loads of negative things. That's why in your day, imagine if you start your day and something, you woke up late, you missed the train, you stepped in a huge puddle. You're like, oh, it's not even 9 a.m. And you're like, oh my God, it's going to be one of those days. I just know it. I know it's going to be. And then what happens? It's one of those days. Your boss starts screaming at you. I don't know, get into a fight with your wife or your husband. Yeah. Everything ends up going wrong because you are drawing to yourself. You actually are bringing, you're saying, I want a negative day. Please, anything that could be negative, send it my way. But when you train your eyes, because our eye is a muscle. So yeah, we go to the gym and we work out our arms and our legs and all. But you got to also work this out. How about this? But when we start to train it to see the good, oh my gosh, we start seeing more good and another thing good and another thing good. I'll never forget. It's the funniest thing. I gave an act of kindness card to one of my students, okay? And it said on it, hold the door open for someone. Student comes in the next day, like beyond excited. Orly, oh my gosh, Orly. You're not going to believe what happened. I said, what happened? He said, the minute after you gave me the card, I mean like right after you gave it to me, all of a sudden, everywhere I looked, there were doors that needed to be open. Like there was the door and there was the door. And I started laughing. I said, by the way, those doors were always there, just so you know. There was always people trying to walk through doors. I mean, it just happens. But suddenly your awareness is increased. And so therefore you're able to take action on it. That's the power of the eye. So these cards are training me to start seeing the good. And that guy that got it, what do you think is going to happen the next time he gets onto a train? He's going to be more aware. It's like, wow, somebody could be watching me. Not in the scary, like, you know, stalker sense, but my goodness, my action can be inspiring somebody. So maybe I should choose to do a better action. I mean, this works. It's the reason why, and studies have shown, when a person is in a place that is clean, there's no garbage on the floor, and they're in a neighborhood with no garbage, and they have garbage in their hand, and they are a person that throws garbage generally on the floor, they are less likely, significantly less likely to throw that on the floor and to find the trash can. But if you're in a very dirty neighborhood, everything's disgusting, and you're a person that doesn't usually, you know, you don't usually litter, you're more likely to actually litter in that place because we adapt to the area, to what we're around. And so this is a very important thing for us to understand in terms of this concept of kindness and how we can train ourselves to see it and for it to be more relevant in our lives and to appear more in our lives, because there's a lot of good going on. There's a lot of good people out there, okay? A lot of good people, but we're very much focusing on the negative ones. And what is it doing? It's bringing us more negative people. I mean, it's just going to continue that way until we make a shift.
Yeah, I really like how you pointed out, like the eyes are open, like the kids seeing the doors that needed to be held open, right? It's taking the initiative to, you know, pass out those cards to, you know, point out just those acts of kindness and how people can see the good in people rather than the bad, like you're saying, right? The more positivity I think that we can spread in our schools, the more, you know, the greater community will see, right? And I think that's just, it takes that initiative. It takes that time. It takes the community coming together. And that kind of leads into my next question about culturally relevant practices. It's been very much at the forefront in discussions in education in the last several years. And as we're starting this new school year, talk to me about your thoughts about that in terms of the work that you do and how you emphasize that every person matters.
And that's a great question. And I think that a very, very important aspect of it. And we do have a curriculum that we implement into schools that's focused. And again, even though kindness is the goal, I always say my core word, as strange as it is, because my organization is all about kindness, but my core word is empowerment, right? Life vest inside. We all have a life vest inside of us, okay? Inside is extremely important. The concept is that, you know, I always say when talking about the concept of a life vest, you know, when you go on a plane and they tell you in case of an emergency, what do they tell you to do? You could be with, you could be with a kid. What do they say? Put on your life vest and then help the guy next to you. It sounds very unkind. It sounds like, you know, it's very, wow, these people don't really care about other people. It's exactly the opposite. They understand that if you're going to drown, guess what? Everyone's going to drown too. So it's very important to recognize our value, to understand that we matter. And when you explain that and you build this up within schools, and that's exactly what the curriculum is built to do, you have to be careful because there can be a danger with this buzzword of kindness that people use. And some people, unfortunately, are using it in not such a kind way. They think they are, because kindness doesn't mean, I'm going to be kind to people, but only the people that believe what I believe. No, that's just not kindness. I mean, it just, that doesn't make so much sense. Why should everyone believe the same thing? It's not going to happen. We don't look the same. We don't talk the same. We all have a separate fingerprint. I mean, that itself should show us we're all individual. So we have to recognize that sometimes there are going to be people that don't agree with us, as long as it's very important to comment and to mention, okay? Somebody else's beliefs is not going to harm another individual. Somebody else's beliefs could say, well, me, I believe that anybody that doesn't believe like this, they should be killed. Okay, well, that is not a sensical thing to think of. There is called a line in the sand there. So it cannot infringe on actual lives of another person, a person's beliefs. I mean, that doesn't make sense. But the concept is, if we can empower our students to understand their individual voice, recognize that they have a story just like everybody else has a story, and to embrace themselves with their flaws and their mistakes, because we all have those mistakes, suddenly we are free to embrace others for who they are, not for who we want them to be. And that's extremely important. And I see a little bit of a danger, not a little bit, a very big, I don't want to go into, you know, again, it's up to you, but I don't want to, I know that things could be very touchy, you know, politically or whatever it is, but when what's happening in the school systems right now is a little bit scary, in my opinion. And I think it's very dangerous. And I think it's a very wrong, it's exactly the opposite, I would say, of how I've taught my students and how I've seen change come about in a positive way. When you're going to continue to create division, there will be more division. When you continue to bring focus on how the division, you're only going to bring more division. Instead, you want to actually focus on our commonalities. Our commonalities are, in fact, we all have, you know, the desire to be successful in our lives and to lead a happy life. I mean, these are our commonalities. Yes, we all have our own thoughts or ideologies. But the more that we're going to focus on division, I'm going to tell you, the division is going to get much worse. And that's very, very dangerous. And it is not a way towards a healthy system, towards a positive system. So being inclusive of people doesn't mean that you're so inclusive that you become exclusive. And I'll explain to you what that means, because I know that sounds a little bit, it could be confusing. Being inclusive doesn't mean that you create the rules of what that person has to be in order for them to be included, because that's being exclusive. Being inclusive means you're okay with somebody not believing what you believe. Again, they can't try and take your life because you're not believing that, or there can't be, you know, but there is a fine line and there is a balance. And I am worried because I see things going in not such a positive direction. And I'm fearful for our children, because our children are very, very innocent. They don't see things like adults see them. They don't see black and white. They don't see, you know, race or gender or religion as a dividing factor. They don't see that. But if we're going to place those divisions on them, my God, we're going to ruin childhood. We're going to ruin innocence. We're going to ruin the best part of humanity, which is the kids and their ability to dream. Why are we wanting to rob that of them? Like, what are we doing? So it's scary. And I think that we have to be very careful. And I think that there's a way to promote empathy and compassion and kindness that is healthy. And that's generally, that's exactly what I try to do in my classrooms and what I am doing through the work with Life Essence Side.
Yeah, I see like how that's, it's better to promote kindness and empathy rather than looking at what's dividing us, right? Look more like what's uniting us, right?
And, yes.
And take like the innocence of the young children, right? And how they view the world a lot of the time, rather than trying to, make this differences, right? So I wanted to ask you about your own kindness ritual. Is there a specific ritual that you follow every day?
There's several, but I'll share a few with you. One is gratitude. Gratitude is actually a very, very, very big component of kindness. Huge. Taking the time to actually be grateful for what we do have. Very often, again, you can either focus on the lack of what you don't have, what other people have, or you can focus on the things that you are grateful for. So for me, again, and again, this is just personally, I'm a very, very spiritual person. So prayer is a very big part of my life. And so I start my morning in prayer, and the biggest part of prayer is gratitude. So saying thank you, actually saying thank you for the simple things, thank you for allowing me to wake up this morning. Thank you for being able to stand upright. Thank you for the clothes on my body. Thank you for the air in my lungs. Just, being able to take the time to say thank you and bring thanks into your life is a tremendous, tremendous kindness, because it also makes us realize and recognize the people that we're grateful for. For our family, thank you for my mom and for my dad and for my teachers. Recognizing that will allow us to shift the way in which we engage with those people throughout the course of the day, because we're acknowledging the positive light that they bring into our day. So to me, that's something that I personally implement, and I find it to be really very, very beneficial. And a lot of that daily ritual. I have a book called Kindness Boomerang. It's named after the film. And it's a lesson a day book in kindness. Every day has one page, an act, an inspirational quote, and then a short reflection on the power of paying it forward. And the reason why I created this book is to be able to provide people with a daily ritual or practice. Because again, it's about exercising this muscle, the eye muscle. So when you read a specific act of kindness, for example, suddenly you're going to become more aware of that act throughout the course of your day. And you could see how it could be applicable to you. So you're going to notice it because you actually called it into your life. By reading it, you're calling it into your life. And I find that to be really great, whether you're creating your own or whether you're, I have a daily email I send out. I have this the Kindness Boomerang book, but these are great ways to practice that. But we can all create our own daily rituals in whichever way it may be. A practice that we incorporate into our lives. And also taking an accounting, evaluating who we are and where we want to be is very, very, very important part of growth. Okay. So I like to do this at various points throughout the year. My life is all about evaluation. It's like constantly you have to evaluate. Otherwise you're not growing. You know what I'm saying? And so saying to yourself, what kind of person do I want to be? What values do I hold important to me? That's the work of the heart. The work of the heart is the hardest work to do because it's internal work, but it's very important work. Okay. And this, to me, that's really where kindness shines. And asking yourself, well, if I want to be known as a person that is generous, so how can I start practicing generosity in my everyday? If I want to be a person that is known as being kind, how can I practice kindness in my everyday? And it doesn't mean you need to turn your day around. It's simple, subtle things that we do, whether it be smiling more often, right? Or taking the time to ask our parents, if we're a kid, or our spouse, how was your day? And taking the time to hear the answer. These are small things. I mean, they don't require you to do like these leaps and jumps. It just requires you to be mindful.
Yeah, I think that's so important to have that time to take gratitude, right? To wake up and, you know, if you're religious, to be thankful to the powers that be, or you know, have a gratitude journal, like you said, and, you know, signing up for emails like that you're putting out, or, you know, taking into account what your, you know, what your value is in the world. I think all those things are great ways of implementing daily rituals. And hopefully the listeners will take some of these into account if they're not already practicing a daily ritual. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what you're doing these days as we move into the 21-22 school year. How are you leaving your mark on the world? You talked to me a little bit in pre-chat about a program that you're starting to implement in the schools this next year.
Yes. So we have a fantastic program called Dance for Kindness. It's an event. It's an international event, a global flash mob that kicks off World Kindness Day, that celebrates World Kindness Day. It happens in November and it takes place in countries and cities around the world. And we have loads of schools that join us. And what we provide the schools are activities and exercises that they can do and easily implement into their school leading up to the event. So for example, it's a dance. Everyone is doing the same dance, the same song on the same day. Every year we create a new dance. Imagine doing something in unison with people from around the world and actually seeing it come to fruition. It makes you feel part of something much bigger than yourself. And for a child, for a student, it does wonders. I cannot tell you. The testimonials that we get from our students and our teachers are beyond incredible. And so many schools implement it into their phys ed department, where they're having the phys ed teacher teach the dance. So from when school starts in September, you know, all the way till November, they're learning the dance. In their music classes, they're learning the song and singing the song. In their art classes, they're creating art banners and so on and so forth. So we provide various activities. And then once the event is over and all the locations film their event, we put together a big worldwide montage. And then we provide the schools with additional activities that they can incorporate into their classroom on a regular basis throughout the course of the year. We have loads of great resources that teachers utilize, whether it be our Kindness Boomerang books, whether it be our Kindness posters, the Acts of Kindness cards, and like I mentioned, our curriculum. This has a way of bringing an atmosphere of kindness into the classroom, not just saying, hey guys, you know, today we're going to talk about kindness. So what does that mean? Tomorrow is not Kindness Day. So this allows you to really incorporate an atmosphere in your class on a regular basis. And a lot of it is based on, you know, the things that I've done within my classroom with my students and seeing the impacts that it's had.
Yeah, I'll definitely include that information in the show notes as to where people can access that. And
It's at danceforkindness.com that they can find that all the information there.
Great, great. As we wrap up the podcast today, I wanted to ask, out of everything we've talked about, is there anything in particular you'd like listeners to remember?
I would say the biggest takeaway, okay, if you could only remember one thing that I have to say, it's that you matter. Now, I know that that's very easy to say, but just remember something, okay? Tomorrow morning, when you wake up and you take that first deep breath in, remember, not everybody gets to do that. That's on purpose. You have air in your lungs, you're here in this world, and it's on purpose. There's no superfluous people in this world. It's not like, oops, you know, extra person, that was a mistake. No, no. If you're here, there's a reason for you to be here. And it's different than my reason, and it's different than anybody else's reason. It's your reason. And if you're not going to get up and be psyched to look at that person in the mirror and say, wow, I'm psyched to be me, then who's going to fill that role? So just remember when you take that deep breath in tomorrow, that it's on purpose. The world, you could say the universe, God, however you want to call it, is betting on you. The question that you need to ask yourself is, are you willing to bet on you? I hope you are, because you'll have one crazy nut over here coming to you from Jerusalem that will be betting on you every single day, because I believe that we all have something that we have to give back into this world. And if we take our piece of our puzzle and we live it to the fullest, we have the ability to tackle all of world's issues. We truly do. We are so super interconnected. And if anything, COVID has taught us that, not just for the negative, that we can infect people in a negative, but we can do so in the positive. So let's do it. Let's recognize it.
Those are so important words to remember. And thank you for sharing, like, you know, recognize what you have to give to the world, right? And there's always going to be someone rooting for you. Well, where can people connect with you and find you online?
So you could find out information about Life Vest Inside by going to lifevestinside.com. There you can sign up for our daily newsletter, The Daily Kind, our monthly newsletter. You can also check out danceforkindness.com. On Life Vest Inside, you'll be able to get to a bunch of our different initiatives, whether it be Dance for Kindness, whether it be Project Hope Exchange, our school curriculum, and so on and so forth. I want to also highly recommend that you check out our YouTube channel. We have some really beautiful videos on the YouTube channel, including our viral film. And you can find that at Life Vest Inside, youtube.com/LifeVestInside, as well as the other social media channels that we're posting up on a regular basis. And you're always more than welcome to email me. I respond to every email. Yes, it's me responding. I don't have an automated responder. And I love to hear from people. Like I said, my job is falling in love with people every day, more and more. So you can always email me directly, Orly, O-R-L-Y, at lifevestinside.com. And I will most certainly get back to you.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being on the Out of the Trenches podcast today. It was a pleasure having you on.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate
the
opportunity.
Check out the show notes on danagoodyear.com to learn more about this guest and links to their social media. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review wherever you download this podcast. Tell your friends and colleagues about it. And if this episode resonates, especially with you, be sure to share it out on social media and tag me at Out of Trenches PC.